feel like in most of the episodes we do, you have done like 90% of the preparation.
But that's like, that's this one too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's our standard.
Cena.
You do all the prep and the framing, and then you also, I'm recording all this.
Yes,
but you also like
good.
keep me focused.
Yeah. Yeah, on track.
You have good professor energy with me.
Yeah, but you're dressed like much less of a slob than I am, which is good.
I know, I made myself fancy.
You may not be a professor, but you are professional, right? You're profesh, like you're wearing a waistcoat. Do you guys call that a waistcoat? In Afghans call that a waistcoat. And then I realized like, oh, I know this fancy Persian word, waistcoat. And then I realized it's just waistcoat. It's a waistcoat.
Oh, wow. No, I'm embarrassed to say I've only called this a vest my whole life.
Oh, so you don't even know the Persian word.
I don't even know the Persian word. I can look it up.
So listen, Cena, I wanted to talk to you because we need to talk about mapping. We have to. And there's this terrifying, terrifying thing that these people did, which is make a map.
Yeah, this week in Zionist hysterics, just losing their mind over a website, some HTML code.
The actual HTML code, just about. Okay, so let me see if I can show you, a Chrome tab. Okay, let's look at the mapping project, okay? So here we have it. And really, like you said, it's... it's HTML code. There's a frame, but then, you know, I don't even like the interactive map, honestly. I think, you know, I'm a mapping person. This is actually like my day job is making these kinds of teaching people how to make these kinds of maps. And for me, I'm just like the killer app here is not actually this map. The killer app right here is this incredible use of this thing called HTML. Look at all
the
these.
The 90s are back.
They made links, you guys. Links.
Yeah.
So here you have hyperlinks. Here you have these incredible hyperlinks between, let's see, police. There's 271 police institutions or whatever that are mapped. And then everything else is just, you know, the next biggest one is universities, NGOs, weapons and robotics, and then everything else is fairly small. The NGOs, I suppose, are just out and out pro-Israel organizations. And I think someone, you tweeted someone who kind of looked through it and found that some of these are Jewish organizations that spend most of their time and resources supporting Israel. So... for doing this and all of these links are these hyperlinks between these organizations, corporations, police establishments, and then how they work with Israel, how they support Israel, or in some cases it's not even about Israel. In some cases it's just like displacing poor people from Boston, like getting people displacing, throwing people out of their houses so they can redevelop the neighborhood or whatever.
Well, that's one of the really interesting things about how they've designed this project is that they're looking at sort of settler colonial relationships in different parts of the world and kind of connecting the logic of it. And I think this is a development of the last sort of 20 years, is that you've gone from Palestinian solidarity activism. I had to let my dog in. It was scratching at the door. You've gone from like Palestine solidarity activism, which of course, like, you know intimately from your days in ISM, to a kind of translating that knowledge into a global story of settler colonial violence. And in the case of Palestine, that it's an ongoing settler colonial project, like the country we live in, like the country, like the US, like a lot of different countries, is that this is a process. Taking over people's land, taking over indigenous people's lands and like displacing them and impoverishing them. Like this is like a machine that has different, scenarios that are unfolding simultaneously. So that's one thing that's really, I mean, whatever your feelings on like the map and like the website, like it's a very like humble website, but like the logic is very sound. And it's a very, and I think that's one of the reasons why they reacted so hysterically. I mean, they would have reacted to like,
let's get to the reaction in a bit. I just want to show like the extensive research here. So, cause I just clicked through to, I used this HTML technology to click through the Boston Police Department. So we have this incredibly, they have this cute little thing of these are the harms. These are the harms that the institution contributes to. These are the other subordinate entities. And then you can view it on the map. And then, you know, it's an article. Each one of these links has an extensively researched and referenced article. There are links in here as well. But then, you know, and then you go to the bottom and there's usually some kind of link to Israel. So here it talks about how the New England chapter of the ADL sponsors annual all expenses paid delegations to Israel for high ranking New England police, ICE, FBI, and other security officials, where these officials meet with Israeli military police and intelligence agencies, and so on. So there's these training trips, these junkets that Israel offers or whatever that the U.S. offers to Israel. So there's always this kind of exchange with all the police departments. And that was, I think, one of the places where the research often starts, is like looking at these trips, right? Like why does everybody go to Israel? What does a Canadian or a U.S. police department have to learn from Israel, where they're like fencing in individual communities, not allowing people to go between them without passing through extensive checkpoints, where they have different license plates for different ethnicities? Like, what does this have to do with the daily problems of policing in a city in North America, right? Well, it turns out quite a lot. But you know, just to give you a sense of like what we're talking about here, in terms of what this mapping project is actually mapping. And then universities, there's also amazing connections. You know, obviously Harvard, we can go and look at Harvard Kennedy School of Government, one of my favorites, which is complicit in more harm in terms of the numbers of harms. There's more harms here than there was from the police. But you know, and they talk about the land grabs, and then the extensive, you know, four or five paragraphs on the extensive support for Israel, support Saudi Arabia, propaganda for corporations, and so on. So,
I mean, I think the story here is that like a bird's eye view of how to understand this is that like the East is a career for a lot of people.
Yes,
like Palestine, Zionism,
absolutely.
Zionism is a career. Like it's not, it keeps people employed. Like these projects are not just in name only. They have institutional, they have, you know, financial backers. They're not just like woven on a thin air.
It's yeah.
Like, you can't like, if you want to put it this way, like achieve what the Zionists have without a kind of very large, very active, let's put it as like a, you know, like kind of a, you know, security state like footprint in the country that is its biggest sponsor, which is the U.S., right? Like everybody understands, like it's not a controversial thing to say that the U.S., like Israel is not just like an ally of the U.S. It's not like it's a proxy of the U.S. It's a colonial. I think that the relationship between Zionism and its like imperial sponsors is very interesting and very complicated and can't really be compared to a lot of different other projects. I guess you can also say that about South Africa too, but is that they are unique in how they develop to their own logic. And so when people say like, oh, Israel controls Congress, it's like, no, it's not a control of Congress.
They don't have to.
Two separate things. These are overlapping institutions. And that they have these individuals who like go through these revolving doors between private lobbies and like public service, whatever. But like that's just, the East is a career. It's a way of making yourself like and there's like the different sections of it. There's like the nativist section. In the Iranian case, with like you would have these big, like in terms of like psychological warfare, in terms of information warfare, Orientalism. which is basically sort of like a subset of it, I think, that like this is absolutely that like the info warfare we see on the Palestine question, on enemy states, Venezuela, whatever, is that you have the cynical deployment of like so-called native compradors,
yep,
who then verify our terrible presumptions about a place, like, and bear witness to. And that's like a more recent development. Before that, it was just people like Bernard Lewis croaking their way, making racist statements, and like,
well,
like,
yeah,
these things evolve, right?
And what I love about the mapping project is that it's like people like you and me, we are naturally inclined to look for these university connections. The next most obvious thing is like the police. But like the police is like 271 articles on the different police departments. But then there's real estate, right? Of course real estate is going to be involved. We're talking about throwing people off their land fundamentally. That's what this whole thing is about. Obviously,
Zionism is a real estate project.
Obviously, real estate corporations like are going to be implicated, right? And then they get into the softer, you know, these NGOs that are like ostensibly about something good, but then it turns out, you know, they don't have the same, you know, if you're an institution that's about children, it's like, yeah, you're about children, you're not about Palestinian children, or, you know, you're about like gay rights, but you're not about Palestinian gay rights, you know, like there's always like these rights and freedoms that are, you know, Palestinians are completely erased from. So they do this thing. Okay, we're on June 3rd, comes out on BDS Boston's Twitter. It comes out on Mondo Weiss. Okay, so Mondo Weiss does an interview with them. And then, boom, away we go. So we have on Twitter, we have some smaller accounts, you know, basically saying that it's like an anti-Jewish conspiracy. One of them says, seriously, could you find a difference between a right-wing poster that shows Jews control the world and a left-wing graphic that shows the ADL controls the world? Okay, you know, these are kind of low effort.
Yeah, typical.
We start with low effort, low follower count kind of accounts.
Are you still sharing your screen?
No, I guess I could show you. I kind of don't want to, in the sense of like, I don't want to direct people to these. But you know, there's another one.
Yeah, where... it's typical. Yeah, it's not exactly. It's just like a project like this, I think, is really interesting. I think that it has a way of working that it's like, so it just shows that it's so clear that these like institutional connections, say between NGOs, university, the security state, weapons manufacturers, that there is like a nexus of organizations that participate in US empire, and Israel is a critical site of US empire. It's not, you know, there are, it's not the only one, I mean, but it's one of them.
So,
and it's one of the sort of critical theaters of that imperial pursuit. And so, yeah, it makes sense that, like, high-level cops get to fly and enjoy, like, a nice week in Israel. And God knows what else they get to enjoy. Just speculating.
Yeah.
But, like, this is like any other corporate enterprise. Like, this is what they do. This is the benefit of being part of that class.
So,
and that's one of the reasons why you support, you know, efforts to bully and repress and criminalize BDS, for instance. Because, it's your job to. It's what pays your bills.
So we have the anti-Semitic BDS movement in Boston is now mapping out and targeting synagogues, Jewish schools, and Jewish organizations in America. BDS was never about Palestine. It was always about Jew hatred. Like, that is just ridiculous. Synagogues, Jewish schools, and Jewish organizations. 271 police institutions, 30-some universities.
Even if they did, like, they added to this map, like, this is a project, like, when you support colonization of Palestine, that's what you do.
And that's right.
You're making a map of organizations and projects and groups that actively support the colonization of Palestine. Like, you're going to put them on this map.
And some of them, you know, some of them might be their religious interests may be evangelical, or they may be Jewish or whatever. And then you can't, the chips are going to fall where they may if you're mapping these connections, which apparently, you know, which evidently they did. So that's where we start. But then we start getting official, you know, mainstream media. We have the Jerusalem Post, I guess. BDS map ties police media to Boston Jewish quote unquote Zionist institutions, which is like, yeah, the Jerusalem Post doesn't know what a Zionist is. They have to put it in. They have to put it in scare quotes. What are Zionists? We have no idea what they are.
Yeah, that's a new thing I've noticed the last few years is people saying that to even use the word Zionism
is
somehow a slur. Like it's some kind of like to be against, because it's a neutral thing. Like I've seen this before, is that to be anti-Zionist is to be racist because Zionism is simply
the
Jewish
right of
nationalism,
the right
and
of
Jewish self-determination, yes.
Jewish and self-determination in Palestine.
So like the convenient aspect of it being a settler colonial project gets erased, and it just elided into this like, the world has many ethnicities and Jew is one of them,
right?
And these are and Zionism is a wing of Jewishness, which is like very cynical, like
lots
very
of little
untrue,
tricks,
just straight up fictional.
So they had
connection.
Zionist in scare quotes in the headline, but they figured out what a Zionist is here already. Boston Jewish and Zionist institutions were allegedly to be structurally tied. I mean, like they're not alleged. Oh, and then Harms is in scare quotes because apparently, you know, throwing somebody out of their house is a scare quote. Maybe it's a harm and maybe it's not a harm. Jerusalem Post gets in on it, and then from there, it starts getting lots of, I guess you could say hate directed towards it. On June 7th, the Anti-Defamation League gets in on it. And the ADL, there's a lot of beautiful work conflating, you know, and just doing the this is against Jews, conflation. So here's the ADL New England. The BDS Boston's call for the dismantling of Boston's Jewish community. Is that what they were calling for? So apparently calling for, dismantling these oppressive institutions that support settler colonialism in Palestine and police and, you know, real estate organizations that are throwing people out of their homes in Boston is the dismantling of Boston's Jewish community. See how that happened?
This is from the department of they will say anything anytime. Like, it's like Zionists will just say anything. And
anything.
It's like it's
anything.
Always held behind the shield of, this attack on us is racist.
Yeah.
And the fact that their project, this project of Zionism, is inherently racist and like openly so, in the sense that it promulgates a view. And they did this. They have this like national state identity law, whatever it was called, that Bibi put through, I think, 2018 or something. Like they codified the fact that it's a racially segregated or like an apartheid state. It's separated from people of a certain race are situated differently from other people. In relation to how their state, in the relation to the state. So like the whole logic of, Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, blah, 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 right? Like you can't have it both ways. You can't be an openly like chauvinist, like racist movement that says we as a certain people with a certain kind of background get inherent access to certain resources and land and laws. And then other people, and you can't then hide behind the claim of, you can't call us racist because that itself is racism. Like this is like this is the most obvious kind of like anybody could see this. And yet because of the fact that like anti-Palestinian racism is so normalized that endorsement that Zionism has had such an important sort of foothold culturally, like there's like multiple shows, Israeli shows on. In our television, like the terrible Tehran show that's on Apple TV. Like before that, it was like Valley of Tears or whatever. Like they make like these movies that are like obviously like Israeli nationalist movies, like the Entebbe movie that they made, Munich. Like this is a cultural sort of like ideological, like a culture war that's been running for a long time of saying that, Israel is not a sort of racist, imperialist, you know, like apartheid state, which it's always been, which it's open about that. It's actually this kind of like situation where these plucky Jews are fighting against, or yeah. just trying to like survive against these bloodthirsty Arabs. And the way they've been able to sell that over the course of like the 7-decade history of Israel is quite a feat. And it's like, there's like movies that go back decades. Like there was one, I was just looking at another one with like Kirk, who was the guy from Spartacus? The guy,
Kirk Douglas?
Kirk Douglas plays some Zionist hero or something. Like, that's just one example, and that's from like 50 years ago. Like, this is that the Zionists have been given permission to narrate, to use Eber Said's term, and the Palestinians have simply been denied that. Like, their humanity has been denied, you know. Like, you know, that's just the simple logic of this. And yet, because of the internet and because of the tools of the internet, I mean, this is an HTML thing, just simply like bearing witness to that sort of like influence project of institutions, of police institutions, Zionist, Jewish, non-Jewish, Christian. I mean, most Christians and most Zionists in the U.S. aren't Jewish. They're Christian.
That has to be the starting point. Most of the Zionists in the world are not Jewish. And some large plurality of Jews in the world are not Zionists. So this is a connection they want you to make as 100% connection, right? Jews and Zionists are the same thing. But in fact, there's, you know, most of the power, demographic and otherwise, to the Zionist project actually comes from outside the Jewish community. It comes from imperialism. And a lot of the Jewish community also doesn't have that kind of investment in Zionism, like the, you know, globally speaking. Anyway, politicians start getting in on the action within, you know, 3 or 4 days after the ADL throws down. We have Congressman Richie Torres. The BDS movement put together a mapping project, scare quotes, that accuses Jewish and Zionist institutions. So I guess Richie Torres, also congressman, can't figure out what Zionism is. He puts that in scare quotes. Of various evils in American society. Various evils in American society. He didn't even want to use harms. He just threw the word evil in there, right? Scapegoating is a common symptom of anti-Semitism, which is at its core a conspiracy theory. Well, you know, we're in agreement on that. It just has nothing to do with what's going on here.
And this is the farcical nature of, like, the like American political scene, where you have these obvious lobby groups that have just an assortment of clowns at various levels of government, just, you know, on call to like have tweets condemning the latest thing. And it's just like, this is how influence works. This is how, like, you anything. And there's different kinds of influence in the US. There's different kinds of foreign policy. Like, there's I would say, and just as insidious and just as active, lobby for the Gulf states, and they're different too. There's a Saudi lobby, there's a Qatari lobby,
there's a Ukraine lobby,
there's a Ukraine lobby. I mean, this is just the nature of American political life, is that you pay some money and you create these like conduits where you can support and prop up and, you know, like have allies in the various political scenes. And there's nothing abnormal about that. It's just normal. It's just exposing that is so enraging to a certain class of people, to a certain like the idea that you could simply even talking about it. I mean, this is the crazy thing. Palestinians are told, don't be violent, like, do nonviolent protests, like, don't, like, you know, and then they do that. They do BDS, right? Which and then is criminalized.
They make a map. Right? They make
like
a map.
Like, let's talk about the Holy Land Foundation. The Holy Land Foundation. They threw those guys into lifelong prison sentences because, God forbid, they built a charity that had a really effective reach in Palestine, that was strengthening the people, that became a conduit for diaspora Palestinians and Arabs and whoever the supporters were, to then help rebuild Palestinian institutions inside Palestine. So, like, that was just one example of many, that the criminalization of Palestinian solidarity continues. And the way that this project kind of unfolded anonymously, and it's a simple sort of like, oh yeah, let's just shine a light. Like, these are classic liberal values.
Yeah, exactly. A voice, it's shining a light in the darkness, voice in the wilderness. But I just wanted to show, this is a Ukraine flag in the bio. I'm actually optimistic and perhaps naive about reforming the anti-Semitism out of BDS Boston. If leftist Jews on the ground talk to them about why what could have been a useful map is anti-Semitic, maybe they'll listen. And it's interesting because this was like quote tweeting somebody, Elana_who_, which was a great thread that I read early on about the way Elana grew up and, you know, how she grew up in a way where she was given to understand as a young person that being Jewish meant support for Israel and no less and no more. And she, you know, kind of coming out of that, and obviously her account no longer exists. I have no idea whether it came because of, you know, because of backlash to her thread, but her thread did get pretty big in defense of the mapping project. So I could well imagine that she was hounded off Twitter, at least for a while, for her troubles.
I mean, the background of all this too is the fact that Zionists have been doing the exact same thing of targeting and using the internet and collecting information and posting people's
and they're really doing it. Yeah, they really do.
So it's classic Zionist imperialist projection.
Exactly.
Of like, oh, the thing that I do to you, God forbid you do it to me.
Yeah, like, and where they're not, but it's a different thing. But it's, of course, the way their mentality is, you're always doing, you know, something, you're always targeting somebody for violence as an imperialist. So that must be what they're doing to us. I just wanted to show Senator Warren has stepped in on June 10th to denounce.
At this
moment of rising anti-Semitism, racist attacks and political violence, this mapping of the Jewish community is dangerous and irresponsible. We strongly condemn anti-Semitism. Da, 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 da. You know, it's what's cool about it, though, is that Warren did make it into the mapping project. Eh? There is an entry on Elizabeth Warren.
She did.
Let me pull that up. We've got let me see. Share. So right back at you, Senator Warren, because politician, there's three of them, obviously, Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, Ed Markey, Elizabeth Warren. This was a joint statement from Markey and Warren, but let's see what Warren does. Massachusetts Senator, another extensive article, lots of links you can follow. Extensive supports ethnic cleansing of Palestinians from their homeland while advocating for the interests of U.S. weapons developers in Congress. So I guess
this is their job. Like, this is Elizabeth Warren's job. But the fact that they lose their minds when they're just even named, is that it means that like there is to be psychological here, it's like they must have some degree of shame for this, for them to react so. For the people who are being shown to be part of this, as that like someone like Elizabeth Warren, I imagine I probably shouldn't think about it. Even this is like one for AIDS, just writing something, so maybe not. But there's a part of me that likes to think that you know what the situation is. You know, like you know who shoots the knees of like of protesters, like the things that we accuse, you know, like Iran of, Israel does out in the open, right? Like this is the
every time,
the insane position you have to be in to like even talk about this stuff, because like the thing that one country does happily, proudly every day, right, is that then used to like as a cudgel against other countries and said that, oh, you're against human rights, and this is just like the typical, and like Israel's always like, okay, like how are they on Palestine? Like, are they, do they show their principles? Do they show that? Do they have solidarity? I mean, the other story here is like the atrocious reaction of the BDS Central Committee or whatever it's called.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah,
we should probably get to that because they.
But I did want to say technically, so like by June 16th, the mapliberation.org had been basically bullied off of two of their servers. So their one of their servers and then their backup server. Let me just show you the FBI, who are also in the web. mean, it's pretty cool to see, like, it's like a real-time demonstration of how the connections actually work, to have the organizations that are described then show that they're going after the mapping project. Boston area Jewish groups condemn anti-Semitic attack. FBI is tracking the website. The FBI is tracking MapLiberation.org. this HTML website.
It's so bonkers to just say like you really have nothing better to do with yourselves.
Yeah, and
to look at a website. Like maybe they'll learn something by reading the website.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they can track it without reading it, but I hope some of them are getting some level of education from it. So they're bullied off several servers. The ADL bragged about it. They tried to make a hashtag scrap the map.
Paid money to do that. Someone gets paid like $100,000 a year or more to like come up with these like pathetic scams. Like, or, like I want to know, like I want to ask this like honestly to like a scientist. I disconnected. My computer disconnected from my headphones. That worked now. I wish I could have like a sort of ardent Zionist on the show to ask like why is it so enraging for you to even like to have like an antagonist for you exist? Like, doesn't the antagonism give you like a reason of being? Like, doesn't the like existence of a Palestinian and a Palestinian solidarity movement like provide you? I'm talking to like the person at the ADL who comes up with these corny projects. Like, wouldn't you rather that like you just do your own thing and like push for your country's agenda as opposed to just hunting down the internet, as this person Zionist would rather try to delete the internet than to stop assassinating children and burning trees? Can't you just stand on your own and like accept the fact that there's people who like antagonists? And of course the answer is no, because like the point of like, you know, the organizing of ADL is to bully people. It's to exist to bully people in case that they get too out of line and challenge, you know, like conventional sort of political positions. And it's not so much for people like us who are freaks who like don't matter, but it's to send a message to like the normies, to like the liberals. And I think typically a project like this is aimed at liberals because generally conservatives the US don't give a shit about Palestine. If then, they probably support Israel big time because there's a lot of Christian Zionists and they actually like get into big, like Mike Pompeo, the former head of the CIA, former Secretary of State, like he was a huge Christian Zionist. Like Mike Pence, same thing. So like the fact that they're so insecure about the existence of their antagonists is just, I don't know. It's, for me, it's such a psychological tell, but it's also just a sign of like how much resources they have to fight these things, because a part of their resources is dedicated to locating, naming, and tracking their antagonists and people who challenge them. So
is based on that. So I just wanted to show, you know, this is the week that they overturned abortion rights, Miranda rights. And what else? They introduced concealed carry in all through the Supreme Court. But the House lawmakers are, what are they working on? They're urging a federal inquiry into the mapping project. This is June 22nd.
I mean, See, this is so, also like you. This is also, I think, too. There is a kind of funny thing about this too, which is these politicians do this stuff to show, like, they show their gratitude and like this is their job. Their job is to stand up and like and to automatically just like condemn.
29.
Because that's the nature of like American political action, is that there is like these levers politicians represent, and like with a certain amount of like money and whatever, like you can just get them to do anything. And so like this is one story. This is just like another example of it. And but there's a part of me that's like, are all these guys just like standing up instantly and doing these ridiculous like overreaction to like some HTML links? Is this a sign of like, okay, you're getting your money's worth, whoever's like supporting this? Is this to show patron?
I think so. I think it has to be partly that. I mean, it can't be entirely that, but I do think it's a little bit of you know, justifying all these organizations, justifying their existence. You know, there's no big targets to fight, right? You're talking about a population that's not got a state to defend them, and so they're just hunting down every little group of, you know, Jewish peace activists in a little city or wherever, whoever these people are, you know, whoever's behind the mapping project is probably some mix of students, you know, Jewish and Arab
students. And a lot of the consequences are very serious too. Like like they ruin people's lives. They like go after undergrads, like people who are just like in college. Like if Canary Project was around when I was in college, they would have bullied me into silence. Yeah. I would have been, It totally would have worked on me. Yeah. It just was, I was a little early for that stuff. It came later. Is that because you're so much of your personal information is available online now through social media, and you can set up bots that like take screenshots of every single tweet with like a certain, you know, like that this is capable. This is capable kind of like information warfare. And this is like sort of technology that has been developed in like the last 20 years and like honed. And, you know, in some ways it's like, I would say that like there's like the famous NSO software, right? Like the Israeli NSO software that like is like bought and sold by governments around the world to like, you know, hack people's phones.
I just wanted to say this thing. We fear this map may be used as a roadmap for violent attacks by supporters of the BDS movement and against the people and entities listed therein. So that's going to be interesting. The day that a group of BDS movement activists attacks a police station, an FBI, are they going to storm a prison or something? I mean, so, you know, but it's also like this, you know, this projection again, right? It's like, we fear this map may at some point be used as violence. Like, these people are defending like mass murder of children. Like, you know, last year they killed 65 children. None of these institutions batted an eye. None of these Congress people gave a damn. And they're like, we fear though that this map of locations of these, you know, incredibly well defended imperialist institutions could in some future timeline be used as a map to do violent attacks, you know, maybe even of the sort that we do against Palestinians every day, which would be, you know, unfathomable and horrible. So now I think we're ready to talk about the perhaps somewhat disappointing establishment reaction.
Somewhat?
I'm not, you know, let's try to do it in a way that heals division. Let's be healing about this.
No healing? Wrong. Sound.
We're not going to heal.
I wish we had a soundboard. Does this have a soundboard?
No, I don't think we have a soundboard, but let me again, direct you to someone who's very insightful on this. You know, there were some non-endorsement endorsements that came out, right? So they're sort of like, we don't support or oppose what's it called? Yeah, so the BDS movement said it has no connection to and does not endorse the mapping project in Boston. Simultaneously, though, we reject and condemn the cynical use of this project as a pretext for repressive attacks. So it's sort of like, but if you... Why do you have to go to such lengths to distance yourself from them then? And Dr. Honey Badger, who you, as we all know about the Honey Badger, what the Honey Badger, you know, how the Honey Badger feels about stuff, says, oh, I noticed you didn't say J Street. You said AIPAC. Looks like BDS is in the pocket of, is so on, officially compromised and so forth. So there's this kind of accusation that this non-endorsement was a sign of compromise. I think that was... Were there any other kinds of non...
No, their statement.
Yeah, yeah.
The statement they made was atrocious.
Yeah, it was you
it's
know...
embarrassing.
Was trying to distance yourself. So there were a lot of groups that did, you know, that did...
Did you show the tweet? No, you didn't show the tweet.
I did.
But show the actual tweet that... BDS.
That BDS did? Okay, but I only
not
have
Honey
it.
Badger.
I have it on Honey Badgers.
Okay,
have
whatever.
It on
that's
Honey
fine.
Badgers.
Okay, whatever. People understand.
But it's okay. Shameful it's okay. I can show you.
Shameful
I can show
liberals.
You again. I can show you again. It's okay. Because I want to show
so
you.
What is so hard about a website? Why is it so impossible to simply stand up for your principles and say, yeah, like, we're... Yeah.
Here.
We know, like, we are the victims of Zionism. And shining a light on its institutional ties to people, to organizations that victimize other people, non-Palestinians, like that is a great thing because it forges a link in people's minds. It's like, oh, okay, like there is something, what unites like this, you know,
but
here
it, but
in
it's,
Canada,
but
like
it's also
like the oil pipeline search for
yeah,
with Palestinian
exactly.
liberation.
Exactly.
Like that's, I think, what scares them.
No, most. But here, look. They even say endorsement of this project by any group affiliated with the BDS movement conflicts with this affiliation. So it's sort of legalese in a way. It's like hard to parse what this means, but I guess they're saying, you know, it's not a even if a BDS group says they endorse mapping, it doesn't mean they're, you know, they can't, they're not doing it in the name of the, it's a not in our name thing, right? It's a not in our name kind of statement.
Maybe you should read it for the people who will be listening to this.
Yeah. So the Palestinian BDS National Committee, the broadest coalition leading the global BDS movement for Palestinian rights, has no connection to and does not endorse the mapping project in Boston, Massachusetts. Endorsement of this project by any group affiliated with the BDS movement conflicts with this affiliation. Again, very hard to parse that sentence. Simultaneously, though, we reject and condemn the cynical use of this project as a pretext for repressive attacks on the Palestine Solidarity Movement by anti-Palestinian racists and apologists for Israeli apartheid, which is super interesting because, you know, saying it was Israeli apartheid or talking about anti-Palestinian racism used to be the thing that gets you into trouble. And now it's like, that's okay, but mapping these connections is what is now a bridge too far, right? Which is
it's also interesting, the idea that like that these synagogues, if like these Jewish institutions, groups, as if they're not, this is their support for Israel is secret. It's not. They're open for their support for
Exactly.
secret. So what's
exactly.
wrong with saying that, oh, here are the people who are openly support of this of this racist colonial project? Like there would be nothing like we, you know, there are maps about, you know, like oil companies, right? Like who support environments. Mm-hmm. Like this is typical liberal enlightenment kind of values of like shining a light on something and like bringing knowledge to it. Consciousness raising, whatever you want to call it, like this is
awareness.
Nothing, you know. Even it looks like it's something out of the 90s, right? Like this is something that would be on like a
aesthetically.
What was the server? Like a rise ups, like a rise up group. Like this is exactly that kind of vibe. You know,
so
actually,
BDS
I lost you for a second. My stupid headphones.
Oh, that's okay. I think we're
Sorry.
Still going.
Let me
as
pause
if
for a second.
Nothing was wrong.
Consarn it.
We're still recording, so I just wanted while you're not, that's okay. I'll just keep talking nonetheless, Sina, until you come back. But for example, there's a BDS Genobia. The mapping project is an indispensable tool. But what I like about this is like so there's the maps that come out, there's the backlash, and then there's now I think we're in the phase of like the backlash against the backlash, which is nice. So here we have BDS Genobia. Hands off Handala, hashtag liberation, not ingratiation. I like that a lot. At first, I thought they were saying integration, and then I was like, oh, no, ingratiation. That's actually pretty clever. The what is it? The PFLP, did they? The Palestine Youth Movement endorsed.
Yeah, PFLP released a statement.
Yeah, PFLP released a statement connecting the dots. Palestine Chronicle, reject repression. Rima Najjar did a nice article over on Medium, mapping our differences for Palestine's liberation. So I think I guess that takes us to the present. We've gone back and forth, right? But it's for me, like the complete freak out over it was a bit surprising to me, and it was like an echo to me of, you know, IAW years of like Israeli Apartheid Week or the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid in Toronto, and where the Zionists would absolutely, you know, this was like they would deploy everything. Michael Ignatieff would write an op-ed in the Globe and Mail. The Canadian Parliament would issue a denunciation, a formal denunciation of these lectures. These campus lectures about the history
they
of
simply
Palestine.
They don't want to have antagonists. They want to have a pure, like, unchallenged hegemony, which doesn't exist in the world. You can't erase a country and force out hundreds of thousands of people and besiege, you know, millions of people in Gaza and then, you know, like cordon off and ethnically divide other millions of people in the so-called West Bank. Like, you can't do all those things and not expect people to resist that. Like, this is just, you know, basic laws of political gravity.
Yeah.
Like human, like, so the, why not, why focus so much energy on your antagonist? Just like, you think like they brought more attention to the mapping project.
I think so.
Than it ever would have received.
I think so.
So this is the Alanis Morissette. Like, isn't it ironic? Like, I'm gonna put the GIF in here because like this is one of the sort of tools of that. Like
the,
that.
The first...
I remember I started. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say like the first couple of weeks I wanted to like do a series of tweets, especially by like leftists who were like, we don't endorse this. You know, I wanted to do like that fixed it for you genre. You know, where I'm like, I think what you meant to say was, hey, cool map. You know, I'm gonna check that out when I have a minute. You know, like
if they had just ignored it, if they had just ignored it, nothing would have happened. We would have been like, hey, look at this awesome map.
What do you do with
and
this
like,
map?
And
what
we would have gone on with our lives. Yeah, like,
what can you do like, with you know, it? Really, honestly, like what can you do with such a map? I don't even mean to disparage it.
There's
like,
there's a deeper thing. What we're talking about is not to be cynical. I don't mean to be cynical, but I mean that what does knowledge do in our society? Does the knowledge Does the knowledge of like the reality of like Israeli apartheid change anything on our ground? I mean, you could make an argument that like it's people are kept, or the truth is hidden from them.
Yeah.
That like the violence, the everyday violence, that there is this corporate media silence, which is, you know, documented, which is obvious. Like at least where we live, like these aren't like hard things to understand. That like every media corporation has its biases, its political leanings, and the Zionists have enjoyed 100%. They bat 100 every time.
Yeah, right. 1,000. Like,
and so the very fact that 1,000. Sorry, I forgot baseball.
Aren't you the baseball guy?
I'm the baseball guy. I said a bat 100. Like they score 100 out of whatever. But like they and so the fact that like there are these small, tiny, little corner pockets of resistance that they have to stamp out every 5 seconds. That they have like something like even it's the same vibe with like press TV and Telesur.
Or like Assange. They're trying to send Assange to America for treason. To put him away for 1,000 years or whatever,
to send a message,
and like, and
which isn't enough. Assange's mistake. I know this is Assange's mistake was trusting the enlightened West and thinking that his rights as a journalist would somehow protect him.
No,
and like,
you know
I
what?
Think that was he should have just done what Snowden did.
No, no, he knew, but by the time you're right, there was a time when he was in that position, but by the time, like, I think he was instrumental in Snowden getting out to where he ended up. You know, I think if Snowden had listened to anybody other than him, Snowden would be in jail too. But Assange's, you know, what really screwed Assange was actually I hate to say this, but like going to a place with elections. Like going to a place with multi-party elections. If he had gone to the Cuban or to the Chinese...
Or to the Iranian embassy?
Or to the Iranian embassy, there's no chance that a regime change... you know, well, not no chance, but like there's a much lower chance. Every few years, the Americans get a crack at any place that has elections, right? They get it. They can take... Like even López Obrador in Mexico, who was like, I'll take... You know, we'd love to take Assange. And it's true. I'm sure they would. But then in 5 years or 4 years or whenever there's an election, the right wing will come to power and they'll give him right back up. And then it'll be a short flight to Mexico. So... yeah.
Sorry, I got us off topic.
No, it's okay. But okay. So there are, it comes down for me to a couple of theories, okay, about why this backlash is so devastating. One is like purely hopeless and cynical, which is like there's all these establishments and all these resources just to fight any pro-Palestine sentiment rearing its head anywhere in the world, and they smash
the
it because
whack-a-mole.
They can. Yeah. So they can, and they have to, and they have to justify it to their funders, and they have to explain why this group should be paid, and look what we did to fight Palestinian, you know, look what we did to fight Palestinians, whatever, anywhere in the world. So that's one. That's probably the worst. If that's true, that's the worst. And two is maybe it does have some effect, you know, that has them genuinely frightened. And so... Then you have to look at, like, what is it that really freaks them out in the information space? It's the Assanges. It's the mapping projects. It seems to be, like, the real data, right? Like, there's something about, like, presenting the actual information in the rawest form that drives them more crazy than, like, the kind of stuff you or I do where we're just there talking, like, we're just commenting, we're just giving our thoughts, you know, we're talking about, like, what we think.
Like, no one comes after us.
No, because, and we, you know, we can say what we can say more or less what we want, but, like, when they present facts like that, somehow they really do lose it. And, you know, so they go after these investigative outfits, the data-driven journalists, the people who present, like, more raw data. So maybe that tells you something. I don't know. Like, maybe that is more important, that kind of information space, than the commentary space that we're in right now. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. I think that for me, I guess the sort of takeaway is the existence that, like, yeah, like, this is your, that information, knowledge, whatever you want to call it, like, that it is a constant battlefield.
Yeah.
That there are, you have belligerents on the other side who are happy to, like, take you down and, you know, like, find ways to, like, get you not to speak and to, like, get to deplatform you, whatever. And, you know, I've tried never to sort of, like, maybe I'm guilty of this with, like, literally one person whose name I won't mention, a famous Twitter nemesis of mine. But I try not to do that. You should deplatform this person. Like, you shouldn't. I try not to say you shouldn't speak to this person.
Right.
Like, I'm not in the business of policing other people's conversations.
We can't anyway.
Like,
I mean,
you know, and
maybe
it's
we would if
it's
we
like
could.
It's
I don't know.
Presumptuous.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm going to tell people, oh, don't talk to that guy because he's an asshole and I don't like him. Like, who the hell am I to tell what other people what to do?
Yeah.
So, like, go and talk to them now. You know, there are consequences with, like, someone keeps platforming some asshole, some series of assholes, then I'm going to make a conclusion. They're like, oh, you're in the business of platforming pathetic assholes, and I'm not going to have anything to do with you.
Right.
But, like, that's my decision. But
you
then
can withdraw
sort of, like,
your association.
Exactly. Like, I don't have to participate in it. But this obsession with, particularly Zionists need to stamp out their enemies discursively. They need to humiliate them. They need to silence them. And it's just like this pathetic insecurity, I feel, that says that you don't want to be reminded of these people try to erase, that you didn't finish
the
job.
On the other hand,
and they stuck around.
Yeah, but they're completely obsessed, right? Like, colonizers are obsessed with the people they're colonizing. Like, white people, you know, racist white people are obsessed with black people. Like, there's nothing that they're more obsessed with, right? So, like, and Israeli, you know, anti-Palestinian racists are obsessed with Palestinians, absolutely obsessed with them. They'll follow them everywhere. You know, they'll follow them to the ends of the earth, you know, to fulfill that obsession. So, you know, I do think there are these psychological things, but I also think there is there must be, beyond that, there must be some special political value to this type of information. There has to be. It can't be solely psychological. It can't just be like, we have nothing to do this month, so we're going to attack the mapping project. More to that.
Should we keep going? Sorry to interrupt, but should we keep going? Because you made a lot of more links.
Do
you not care?
I was trying to open up the indicative ones. Did you have a one you really liked?
Well, Paul Mason link was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, you can, there's a difference in quality, right? This was also the same week that Paul Mason was trying to create these links between Russian disinformation and the left, right? So in the UK's and his map, the map that they put up of his is really funny, because he's got, like, the whole black community is like one box.
Like, how pathetic and much of a loser do you have to be to spend your day like making a dorky, like, MS Paint level map of your enemies?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of pathetic, self-obsessed narcissist are you that, like, this is what your life is, that you couldn't do anything better with your day than this. Like, you literally, he literally should have been cleaning his toilets instead of instead of making that dumb map, because he wouldn't have been made fun of so much, and he would have had clean toilets. Like, this is the hilarious thing about this information economy we live in, where you have these respectable people who have the ability to sort of like put their thumb, so to speak, their discursive thumb on the scale, and use whatever platform they have to kind of denounce and deny and like whitewash and all that shit. And yet, like, what they produce is just comical stupidity that like nobody cares about. Like, nobody cares. Nobody cares about
This wasn't intended for public consumption, right? This was intended for
That's true.
Yeah. This was intended.
Which is actually worse. That's worse.
This is a job application.
You weren't gonna show this off.
Yeah.
Because this is funny. Yeah. Like, it's funny that he did this. That, like, we live in the stupidest era of human history, Justin. I regret to say this, but we are living in truly unprecedented times of human idiocy. I know we're not supposed to use the word idiot. I know it's ableist. I'm sorry. I was informed of this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's hard.
Like, just the assumption out there that even producing a map like that would actually do anything, that like would get them are you that dumb and pathetic, Paul Mason?
No, they're
like,
not.
You think that this works?
My thing now is always that it's not about how dumb they are. It's about how dumb they think we are. You know, like, I think most of the people saying this is about dismantling the Jewish, nobody who tweeted this is about dismantling the Jewish community thinks this is dismantling the Jewish community. They also, first of all, wouldn't be tweeting about it. They would actually, you know, it's actually not that hard to figure out who it is, and they would be, you know, they, whatever. The point is, this is not the response of people who actually fear that they're going to be, the Jewish community is going to be dismantled. This is the response of people who are trying to appeal to people they think are idiots. They're trying to appeal to people that they have contempt for. They're trying to appeal to people who can't tell the difference between a Zionist and their scare quotes they put around, and, you know, the Jewish community, which is like, it's just a bunch of people.
A very cynical thing. Like, it's the idea that you can simply just say stuff like the Jewish community and invoke that as a kind of neutral base of supporters of Zionism is so palpably false.
Yeah.
And it's such in denial of the history of Zionism.
Yeah.
And I've had a ton of anti-Zionist Jews on my show sort of talking about this and sort of like trying to talk about the, you know, how it's important to decouple, you know, the active political project of Zionism and the much older thousands-year-old tradition of Judaism and like the different peoples across the world who have identified as Jews. And like, those two histories are very, very different. Yeah. And the idea that you can just simply conflate them because, oh, here is a map with Jewish that includes Jewish synagogues.
I don't even know if it wasn't. Yeah, but I mean, I know there's like,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
none of it matters. I mean, they can also say anything. Like, they can say anything, and it doesn't matter. Like, you can, and that's also the weird thing is that we can really say anything, and it doesn't really matter, in the sense that like they have the hard power, they have the imperialist support, they have, you know, like they have the F-16s. Like, we just have the truth on our side, which, you know, we'd like to think that that's like righteous and correct, but like ultimately in our society, like what does the truth matter? Like, the truth is Canada murdered the indigenous people and stole their land and made themselves a country on it. Like, does that change? Like, if I say that out loud, does that change anything? Like, does that alter the reality? No.
Maybe it does. I don't know.
I mean, there is a thing about bearing witness and saying things. But
no, but I guess it has more to do with how they constitute their power, right? Like, how they make a Zionist community, how they make Zionist Zionist communities of interest, Zionist ideological communities out of, you know, North American powerful institutions. Like, how do they do that? Well, they do that by implying that this is a righteous cause, by implying, like you said, that this is, it's not a colonial project. It's a project of people taking refuge from persecution in Europe. Right. And so, so I guess it does make it difficult if you can't believe in it. If it turns out that it's this rotten, sordid, you know, group of people attacking a lady's funeral after assassinating her, you know, and like attacking pallbearers on video and like going and attacking a mosque and like zip tying people who are at prayer and laying them face down and taking trophy photos. Like, that's not something a person who likes to see themselves as having a conscience wants to support. So I guess there is some kind of importance to these facts.
I'd like to think that. I don't know if facts matter. Like, facts yeah, don't care I don't think about they... hard power doesn't care about facts. You know, yeah. Like, it's just it doesn't, you know, like, the fact is Zionism is this racist colonial project, and
yeah,
it doesn't change in that. And that, if anything, aids its adoption as like one of the premier allies of our governments. Because
yeah, I mean,
they share a shared project. Like, there's a project that's safe. That in both of those, they have an ideological
yeah.
overlap in terms of what they are, which is taking land. Which is, I mean, at the root of what Canada is, what the yeah. U.S. is also what Zionism is. Is that taking land away from people and installing themselves and building their own way of life and yeah. excluding those people that they displaced and trying to. You know, the scientists put it like, oh, the old will die and the young will forget.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
but see, that's still a thing. They want people to forget. They want people to forget those facts, right?
Yeah.
So, again, like, we should come back to this, because this, I think, is an endless debate, especially for people like us who all we do is this.
Endless debate.
But, like, you know, let's come back to it, because I also don't think they would have put so much effort into lying. Into this whole infrastructure of lying and deception, if facts didn't matter at all. But yeah, any concluding thoughts on the mapping? Go look at the map, people, for God's sakes.
Go map look at the map. It's very
mapliberation.org.
I'm going to link to it. I'm going to link to like the interesting blog post that M. Cohen did.
Yeah.
And yeah, just, I mean, it doesn't, like, I it's the same thing I felt about like all those normie, you know, human yeah. rights organizations calling Israel an apartheid state. I was like, yeah, cool. 70 years too late, buddy. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? Is that going to change anything? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that there is an echo chamber of what we do, because yeah. we're in the world of intellectuals and writers and discourse makers. And so yeah. the idea that Amnesty International will come out with some landmark report and it's going to change everything is like, that's because we'd like to think that like human yeah. rights organizations actually matter,
yeah.
whereas in reality they don't, and most of the time they serve the interests of the imperialists.
Yeah.
And like most of like the nastiest regime changers work for Amnesty International or Human yeah. Rights Watch. And in fact, cynically, I would say that a lot of people use Palestine to shoehorn other more insidious politics. So right, so like,
yeah, I've actually seen a lot of pro like Assad Must Go people supporting the mapping project. I'm not gonna say who or anything like that, but I have seen that.
I mean, there's another story here about the widespread the division in the Palestine solidarity movement that
yeah.
that sort of comes up over Syria, but that's a different episode.
Yeah,
And that's an episode for Palestinians, I think, to lead, not us.
And we have a non-violence episode to do. Our annual yes. follow-up.
When we yell about nonviolence. I'm excited.
All right.